Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search the Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
We're on? Is this on?
Check, check.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys. They've been away. We've been away for six months.
Yeah, at least. No, 6 months exactly. You're right.
Six months.
Unofficially. 6 months since the Dead & Co. 8 months since a true 36 from the vault.
8 months.
Yeah.
8 months. What in the hell happened? What took us so long?
Well, you know, we had creative differences. We had a falling out. We had to go explore our solo careers a little bit.
Yeah, we actually made a record. They filmed it. It's going to be a documentary. The album that we recorded isn't out yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be twice as long as Get Back. We insisted that it's twice as long as Get Back, so it's going to be 16 hours from the vault. It was hell. Yeah, we recorded all these episodes that were shelved,
right?
And maybe we'll hire Phil Spector to clean those up.
I'm going to turn it into a big medley that is just like 16 episodes in like 30 minutes.
Now you're mixing the analogies now, because that's an Abbey Road thing.
Oh, sorry. This is not 36 Beatles from the vault, clearly.
Well, no, let's talk about Let It Be. Mm. And you're bringing an Abbey Road reference there.
All right.
Come on.
I screwed it. This is why we need tour rehearsals. That's why we're doing this.
This is the rehearsal. You know, like, okay, so by the way, it's 36 from the vault presented by Osiris. My name is Steve, Mitch, whatever you want to call me. What's your name?
My name is Rob, Mitch.
Yeah, you're the Mitch.
I'm the Mitch.
You're the real Mitch.
Yeah.
We have not done a show for a long time, so we figured that we should do
some rehearsal episodes. We're doing 3 rehearsal episodes this week. They're shorter than our normal episodes. We're not going to make you sit here for like 2.5 hours.
Right.
We're only going to be about a half hour, 40 minutes. But like when you combine all the episodes that we're doing this week, it'll be about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Of us yabbering on. And yabbering, is that a word?
Yeah. Jabbering. Depends jabbering. On your pronunciation.
Yabba dabba doing.
We should say up top, as you can tell from our nice graphics right down here, these 2 rehearsals are presented by the Skull and Roses Festival, which is coming up. It's in April 7th through 10th. This is a festival out in California at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. The headliner is a man we've said a few words about, Mr. Phil Lesh. Please, if you go to the Skull and Roses Festival, do not tell Phil about our long-running cop Phil. Phil is a cop joke.
Yeah.
We want Phil to be on our side and someday talk to us, perhaps. But yeah, Phil and friends.
And don't stand on the seats. Festival. Don't stand on the seats either.
Take good care of the Ventura County Fairgrounds. Otherwise, Phil will have to send you to your room, give you a timeout.
I think that was Dick's Picks 2.
That was,
where he yells at people for standing on the seats. And there's probably not even seats there.
It is a fairgrounds, yeah.
You're just out in the open. But, you know, still pay proper respect to the grounds.
That's right.
Pay respect to Phil.
Other bands at the Skull and Roses Fest, Dark Star Orchestra, one of the, like, original Dead cover bands. You got O'Teal and Friends. Every bass player now needs to have an and Friends side project, so you can get to the O'Teal's version of it. Yeah, Melvin Seals and JGB, Jackie Green, Keller Williams, Circles Around the Sun. Midnight North, which is Graham Lesh's band, so you get 2 Leshes for the price of 1.
I want to stop you for a quick second. Do you think Phil and O'Teal are going to have like a little powwow? Because O'Teal replaced Phil, essentially, it's not the Grateful Dead, it's Dead & Co. Do you think there's going to be like, you know, opposing trailers at Skull & Roses? You know, there's going to be a little bit of tension maybe between those guys?
Throw down a little bass duel? Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, that would be something.
You want to be there for that. So, if you want to check out the Skull and Roses Festival, skullandroses.com is where you can see the full lineup. They're announcing news all the way up until the festival. Check it out. April 7th through 10th.
Yes.
So the weekend after next in Ventura County, California. So check it out. And we are going to do something special for our first tour rehearsal. You want to talk about the format here?
Yeah. So again, you know, we're doing these rehearsals. It's kind of like when the Dead did Fare Thee Well in Chicago. Before they went to Chicago, they did those rehearsals shows essentially in Santa Clara, and they, you know, they made people pay to go, so it wasn't like us. We're giving these to you. Well, actually all of our episodes are free, so it's not even any different from what we normally do, but these are like the Santa Clara shows. And I guess our last season, if I can call it that, this is like our extended Fare Thee Well.
Yeah,
you know, this fourth season we're going to be Fare Thee Welling for about 4 months.
Right. We're like Coach K. We're doing like a season long farewell tour where everybody has to give us gifts.
That's along
the way and do a dramatic montage of our career.
We are like
the final 9 Dick's Picks.
We are Elliot Goulding. It is the long goodbye, if you will. In this episode, we thought we would look back on our first 3 seasons by picking our favorite Dick's Picks that we've heard so far. But just to spice it up a little bit, this was Rob's idea, credit where it's due. He thought, why don't we do a draft where we pick our favorite Dick's Picks? We're going to do 4 each, and it will ensure that we're not just repeating, because there's probably some Dick's Picks that we would, you know, there'd be some crossover.
Right.
So it'll make it a little interesting. You know, I'm thinking if I win the coin toss, trying to decide, because I've got a pick in mind for number 1 already. Right.
Yeah.
But I think I know what your number 1 is. And I kind of think I'm going to take your number 1.
I see.
Because I don't think you will guess what my number 1 is. So
that's
I think I can get your number 1 and my number 1. I can drink your milkshake and drink my milkshake. That's my hope.
You're right. You can read me like a book, you think, Steve. You think you know where I'm going. Yeah, I got some gamesmanship, too. I've been thinking about this very hard. I'm thinking, you know, it's one thing to pick your 4 favorite Dick's Picks. I feel like we've done that before in some episodes somewhere. But, you know, I want these to be, you know, I want there to be some stakes. Like, I want to imagine that, you know, the 4 Dick's Picks that I pick, these are like my desert island Dick's Picks. And not only that, but you are forbidden from listening to the four dicks picks that I pick, just as I am forbidden from listening to your four dicks picks.
Okay.
So I'm going to get myself into that fantasy world and think, you know, if I have to pick just four dicks picks to represent the whole series and take with me, and also potentially stick it to Steve at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly.
How would I pick it? Yeah.
This is about, the ideal here is that we will enrich ourselves while hurting the other person.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And so we want to hurt each other here, but we want to help ourselves at the same time. So before we get to that, though, we want to do a quick mailbag here. We got emails during our break. I don't know why. I don't know why you guys stuck with us, but we're so grateful for that. People writing us emails. Where the hell are you? You know, it's been 8 months. Like, what was going on when we went off the air? I mean, again, we had that September episode, but I think we ended at the end of July.
Right.
2021. Can't even remember what was going on.
Yeah, the pandemic was over, I think, and now it's over again. It's just, it's all a circle. Yeah.
So let's get to our mailbag here. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah, I can take a crack at this. Let me call it up, dust off the mailbag. All right, this comes from Harvey in Auburn, Alabama.
Nice.
Harvey asks,
Alabama getaway.
That's right. Alabama getaway, Harvey. Here we go. Have y'all had any new revelations or changes in, I think it means opinions, on the Grateful Dead during the break? For example, I no longer automatically piss break Bobby Blues songs. I recently listened to the 7789 Little Red Rooster. It has great playing by Brent and Jerry. And of course, some hot, those quotes are doing a lot of work, Bobby Blues slide guitar. I feel like there are some nuggets to unearth in these songs. Thank you, Harvey. So this is more towards me, I guess. But Steve, you started off.
It's not just about Bobby Blues. He's asking us if there's been any changes to our opinions during the break, and he's using Bobby Blues as his personal example. I mean, do you feel like you've shifted on anything in the time since we last were with everybody?
I mean, I definitely use the break to take a little break from the Dead, just to give us a little space so that I could come back and fully appreciate it. But I have been cramming on my dick specs for the last week or so. And, you know, what I found myself liking was kind of moving in on your territory, some of the Bruce Dead. So I don't know. It doesn't really count as like a specific bathroom break. But, you know, I was going back to like that. Was it Dick's Picks 8, 9, the 1990 show?
Yes. That's 9.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to skim this thing. I know what this is about. I didn't really like it at the time. I feel like I was a little cold on it. I found myself getting into it. I did skip Little Red Rooster, which was in the first set. But yeah, I think I have maybe better speakers than I did back then, and was really enjoying the lush Bruce piano. So it's more of like an era bathroom break, I guess. But I'm kind of interested in digging into those Bruce 90s and 91s.
And that's very early in the Bruce tenure. I think that was maybe his 8th or 9th show, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I remember from that album liking the Tennessee Jed from that record.
Of all things. Yeah.
Because Bruce was bringing out some of that barrel house piano. It was very nice. I'm going to echo Harvey here. I find myself being more and more amenable to the Bobby Blues. I mean, I want to clear something up here too, because I feel like people hear us talk and they don't really always discern differences in the sounds of our voices. So they sometimes think your opinions are mine or mine are yours. I'm way more positive towards blues rock than Rob. I am the blues rock defender on here. I'm actually wearing, you know, this Stevie Ray Vaughan Texas Flood 1984 tour shirt. Very prized possession of mine. But along, you know, agreeing with Harvey here, I'm also more into like the Little Red Roosters and the CC Riders and that stuff from the late 80s, early 90s when Bobby was doing a lot of that. I mean, I think the main complaint about that stuff is that it always comes in the same spot. It's always the third or fourth song in the first set. So the formulaic nature of when you're dropping in the blues can make it a little stale, I think. But like Harvey, I find myself enjoying that sweet, dulcet sound of the Bobby slide. Beautiful. And I also know that talking about this annoys Rob. So it has the double pleasure for me. But I legit enjoy it. It's not just this annoy Rob, but you know, that's just sort of like a nice side benefit of it.
Just, I mean, it's a good, if people haven't heard my Our Dead and Company episode, just like one of my favorite moments of the run was just the joy in Steve's face watching me squirm when Bobby finally got to the Bobby Blues moment on the second night. So yeah, beautiful. That was certainly a highlight for both of us. Like, yeah, so, the culmination of a lot. Yeah.
So let's get into our draft here.
Let's do it.
The main event.
You got the coin.
I got the coin here. We got heads, skulls, tails, roses. I'll let you call.
All right.
First pick. Call it in the air.
Call it in the air. Skulls.
It slipped off my hand, but I just see. I'm an honest man.
Yeah, it's a skull. All right.
So you get the first pick.
We got it. Okay. All right. So here's where we see how predictable I am. I think I know what you think I'm going to pick.
Okay.
And I'm going to go the same year, but maybe not the one that you thought I was going to go with.
Okay, well, now I know what you're going to say.
Okay, yeah. So in the sense of thinking about what are the four Dix picks I want to take with me to my remote island and never listen to anything else again, I'm going with Value Mates. I'm going with Harper College. And is the main reason is disc one. There's no other disc like it in the entire Dix Picks series. I love that acoustic disc, one of my favorite sets in all of Dead history. And as a bonus, a very large bonus, you get that sort of like primal early Dead, sort of the last gasp of like the late 60s, really hard charging, intense, chaotic Grateful Dead on the other two discs. So the Dix Picks 4 Dark Star is one of my favorite pieces of music of all time. There's a lot of Dark Stars in the Dix Picks series, so I'm going to leave that one on the table. Maybe you're going to poach it. We'll see. But I'm going to grab Dix Picks 8 and take Harper College on my first pick.
So, okay. But you were right. So I thought you were going to take Dix Picks 4.
Yes. That's what I thought I was going to take.
Yeah, so
yes.
I was prepared to take that. It would have been interesting if I had gotten the first pick because you would have taken 8 anyway. Mm-hmm. So my attempt to spite you would have failed. So I'm glad I didn't win the toss. Now I'm going in a different direction because the album I want to take first, I don't think you're going to take it. So I'm not going to use my first round pick on it. I am going to take an album that was on my top like 4 or 5 that I think you might want. And that's Dix Picks 12.
Mm.
This is for those who don't remember, this is 1974. It's June 26, 74 in Providence and June 28, 74 at the Boston Garden. Sort of a curated Dix Picks. It's not complete shows here, although I think you get a lot of the June 26th.
Yeah.
But not a complete show. But yeah, I mean, just fantastic. You have that great China Rider where it starts with the jam, then you go China, then you go Mind Body Left Jam into I Know You Rider. Just fantastic. I remember loving The Eyes of the World on this record, and then you also get like the quote of Sea Stones, not the complete Sea Stones, but
right.
Still you get a little bit of Sea Stones. There's an awesome Weather Report suite on disc 3 that goes into like a jam that's like a half hour long. Just a fantastic record from my favorite era of the Grateful Dead, 73-74. So
right.
That's going to be my number one pick, Dix Picks 12.
That's the real jammer's choice. That, of course, is very high on my list, too, because you get all the theme jams, too, which is critical. You get the Feeling Groovy jam, you get the Mind Left Body jam, you get the Spanish jam. Yeah, I mean, that it kills me that I'm now forbidden from listening to that for the rest of my life. So
I thought that would hurt you.
You got me, Steve.
Well,
you got
me enriching right there. So I'm happy with that pick.
Well, so the obvious thing to do here would be to grab Dix Picks 4. But I'm not going to do that because I want to spread out a little bit here. I want to get a little bit of coverage of different Dead eras. So at the risk of leaving it on the table for you to grab, since you went for your 73-74, you went for what I would have picked from 73-74. I'm going to go ahead and like grab my 73-74. And I'm taking Dix Picks 14, which is the two Boston shows, November 30th and December 2nd. So in the same sense that, you know, Dick's Picks 12 gives you a lot of big jams to chew on, it gives you, like, there's a couple repeats on that one too, right? There's two Weather Report suites. I think there's two of another song and very different versions that you can compare and contrast. Dick's Picks 14 has two amazing playing in the bands that are extremely different. There's one that is very straightforward for sort of the 73 sound. And then there's one that is just like crazy space, almost Sonic Youth-y avant-garde noise. And I just love hearing both of those. And you get, you know, all the great stuff that you get from a 1973 Grateful Dead concert. And I kind of like these, you know, as I was going back through the series, I kind of like the ones that pulled highlights rather than giving complete shows. I found myself enjoying sort of the compilation sets a little more. Almost went with Dick's Picks 7, which is those London 74 shows, which is also a great compilation from this era. But the more I thought about it, the more I was going to go for 14 as my representative this era, if I couldn't get 12.
So, because the picks that I have on the board here, I'm like the one I would in my heart want to take next, I feel like you're not going to take it. So I don't want to burn that one yet.
All right.
But we only get four. Yeah. And there's other ones that I want to hear. You know, okay, I'm just going to go with my heart. This is actually my favorite Dick's Picks. And it's a sentimental favorite because it's the first one I ever got. It's also the first one that there ever was. Dick's Picks 1. I love this one. This is, of course, 1973. It's December 19th, 1973, down in Florida. Here comes Sunshine. That's still my favorite version of that song from Dick's Picks 1. The He's Gone is maybe my favorite one of that. I was revisiting this record over the weekend, you know, getting ready to talk about it, and just feeling blown away by Keith Godshoe on this album. I feel like he does so many beautiful things. We talked about this in our first episode. There's a little piano lick that he plays in He's Gone that I've never heard him do in any other He's Gone. And not saying he, you know, maybe I just haven't heard it yet, but there's this little lick that he does. It's so beautiful and I love it. And this is just one of those albums that, you know, when it's springtime and it's the first day that you can open your car windows because it's sunny out, this is one of those albums I want to play. Yeah. I want to play, you know, Here Comes Sunshine, just hear that kind of beautiful, jangly open. I just love, like, how this is, like, a little bit more lo-fi, I think, than a lot of the Dick's Picks that we heard subsequently to this.
Sure.
And I really like that aspect of it. So I don't know. I don't hear this come up. Like, you know, we were asking people on Twitter, like, what's your favorite Dick's Picks? I didn't see anyone say one. And I just feel like, oh, maybe it's too obvious for people because it's the first one. But I don't know. I love it. And it is, I think, still my favorite 73 of the ones we've covered so far, I should say, because our season premiere coming out April 11th.
Yeah,
we're doing a Dick's Picks 28, which is also 73, and we don't want to spoil that, but I think we can say that's a heater. That album's a heater.
Yeah, no spoilers, but we like it. Yeah, we like 1973 Dead.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no suspense there. We don't need to, like, be coy about liking a 73 Dick's Picks, but I won't say yet if that takes the 73 crown thus far
right.
in the Dick's Picks series, but it is a very strong contender. I'll say that for now.
Got it. It's got that Here Comes Sunshine, which every time I go back through the Dick's Picks series, I'm like, the first track of the entire series.
Yeah.
Might be one of the best moments of the entire series.
Absolutely.
It's up there, right?
That's a big reason why I'm picking it. That's not a song that's come up very often.
No.
You know, which is insane to me because it's such a beautiful song, you know. Meanwhile, well, we won't complain about Jed yet, but, you know, there's certain songs that we hear all the time. And that's one we don't hear. And maybe that's also a reason why I love it, because it seems a little more precious in that regard.
Yeah.
So what is your next pick?
So I'm going to keep it early in the series. I'm going to keep it in Florida And I'm also going to go with one of the first ones that I ever bought in my young days as a Deadhead. I'm going to go with Dick's Picks Volume 3.
Mm.
May 22nd at the Hollywood Sportatorium.
Oh.
One of our favorite venues.
Maybe the best. Maybe
the best we've come across. Yeah.
Maybe the best worst.
Right.
It's definitely the best worst.
It had one of the best stories, I think, when we dug into the venue history, for sure. It sounds like just an awful place to see a show, but in a way that you kind of want, like a nice 70s rock show to be sweaty and awful and overcrowded and sounds terrible. Dick's Picks 3 does not sound terrible, though. I feel like maybe we even underrated it when we did it. I think early on in our run, maybe, you know, we were, you know, being sassy boys and sort of, you know, try to be like, you know, we like the Dead, but we're going to be critical about some things. And, you know, we talked about, you know, May 77 maybe being overrated. There's a lot of shows released from May 77. We talked about how, you know, other eras of the Dead should be, you know, held up to that esteem. But I think maybe I'm circling back a little bit, that I'm starting to get back into May 77. And what I like about it is not what I liked about it, I think, originally. What I like about this volume is how sleazy it is. And we talked about this when we did the episode. But it is just, like, dripping with, like, Coke sweat. And I kind of love having that element of the Dead here on my shelf as I'm assembling, you know, my Desert Island Dick's Picks. And there's just highlights throughout this show that I love coming back to. The sugary is incredible. You get a great Help Slip Frank, which is not something you get on a ton of Dick's Picks. You get an Estimated Eyes, classic Estimated Eyes from this era. And you get that really weird run in the second disc, the second set of Jerry songs, where you get Estimated Eyes, Wharf Rat, and then the weird sort of like second half of Terrapin that they didn't, like a weird segue that they didn't do very often, you know, going into Morning Dew. So you just get this run of five Jerry songs in a row. No offense to Bob, but it's like a beautiful, unique moment in Dead history that maybe we didn't even do justice back in the, you know, our early days of our podcast. But I want to keep that. I want to put this one in my pantheon.
Yeah, you know, I feel like when people complain about our show, it's that episode. That's the most complaints I've heard, that we weren't nice enough to Dick's Picks 3. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, like, I think it's a really strong record. 77 is like not my favorite year still. I just think I'm a little sick of 77. I feel like I've heard it so much, especially May 77. Mm-hmm. Those are Dave's Picks, the most recent Dave's Picks, I think might be like the last show from May that like wasn't released. It's like May 26, 77 in Baltimore. So I remember downloading that show for one of our episodes because it was like it was one of the only, if not the only show that hadn't been released. So now everything from May of 77 has been released. And look, they sound great in that era. But, you know, I'm not as excited to revisit that year just because I've heard so much of it. I tend to get more excited about listening to the 90s, for instance,
right,
than 77. I will say, too, that they play Ice Too Fast in 1977. That's a complaint I've made numerous times.
Yeah.
They just play too fast. It's a little too fast for me. The cokiness, I think, gets a little overwhelming on that song. You need a more gentle groove with Eyes. They played a little too fast for me in 77.
But and I will say that I like that this is one that cuts it down to just two discs. So you're not getting the full show. I feel like that's just the amount of sleazy Dead that I need. I do not need all 3 hours. I do not need maybe six discs of May 77, hypothetically. But we'll talk about that soon.
Is Dancing in the Street on that record? Do they do dancing?
Yes, it is, okay. Yeah.
The disco-y Dancing in the Streets I always really like. like Bob and Donna singing together on that. Always is pretty cool. So for my third pick, gotta give it up. Speaking of 90s Dead, speaking of Hornsby, gotta go with Dick's Pick 17. Mm-hmm. From September of 91. I believe the only 1991 show in the entire Dick's Pick series, even, you know, looking ahead here. It's September 25th, 1991 at the Boston Garden. I remember when we did that episode that we actually listened to other shows around that show because they did quite a lengthy run there in Boston. And we did that thing that's annoying where we're saying, oh, you should put out this other show from that time. You know, there are other gigs that were really great. But I love the show. You mentioned Help Slip Frank. That's on this disc as well. I love that they go into That Would Be Something by Paul McCartney, like from the Bowl of Cherries record. Yeah, that's like a pretty cool kind of like random cover. I don't know how often they played that. I mean, it's certainly the only instance of that song appearing on a Dick's Picks. There's a bonus track of Eyes of the World from 6 months prior, show in Greensboro, March 31st, 1991. 23-minute version, which is among my favorite versions of Eyes of the World. I love what Bruce Hornsby's doing on that. He's really ripping off some just beautiful piano solos, along with, of course, the multiple beautiful Jerry Garcia guitar solos in that song. But again, you know, as I've said many a time on the show, I love 1991. I'm a big 91 fan. So I have to grab the 191 show in this series. And correct me if I'm wrong, but like there's no 90s coming up for us, right?
No. Yeah, 180 is left, and then the rest is in the 70s, I believe.
A little disappointing. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more Brent, you know, a lot more Brent, actually. Love 70s. But again, the thing I'll say in defense of the 90s is that, you know, they're drawing from like a bit wider range of material. Right. You know, they're covering a wider range of songs. They obviously have this huge catalog. You know, if you're listening to a lot of 70s shows, you know, they tend to play a lot of the same songs. So that would be maybe one negative. Of course, the songs they're playing are amazing. But I don't know. I love Dick's Pick 17. I figured there was no danger of you taking this one. But that's okay. I love this record.
Right. Yeah, it did not make my top 10 that I prepared here. All right. So I'm in a tough spot here. Because do I take Dick's Pick 4, which has fallen? It's one of those prospects that falls so far, it becomes like a high value pick. But then I've got two Dick's Picks from, you know, 3 months apart. I mean, I feel a little bit bad that I'm only within the 70s. But I do not think there are any 80s or 90s Dick's Picks that rose to the level that I was going to pick them. So I think I'm going to swerve, though. I'm going to leave Dick's Picks 4 on the table. Maybe you'll grab it here in the last pick. Instead, I'm going to go with Dick's Picks 11.
Ooh.
I'm going to take September 27th, 1972 from Jersey City, New York. I'm trading Dark Star for Dark Star here. There's an incredible Dark Star in Dick's Picks 11. Those September 72 Dark Stars are amazing. We're about to hear Dick's favorite of all time in the, you know, the ultimate finale episode of this season. But for now, what we got to pull from, I'm going to take September 72, which is an era that I'm really fascinated with as we're going through this, because the band's kind of got one foot in these early 70s, you know, the American Beauty, Working Man's Dead material up through the Europe 72 stuff. But then they've already got a foot in the 73, 74 sound, which we both adore. And I love those transitional periods for the Dead. Dick's Picks 11 has just got a lot to dig into. I was kind of thinking you might pick Dick's Picks 11. And if you did, I was thinking about picking Dick's Picks 23 as a compliment, which has got that really long, 40-minute long, the other one to dig into. You stole my beloved Dick's Picks 12 with all the jams, so Dick's Picks 23 was tempting, but I think I'll stick with 11. I'm going with 11 for my final pick, and leaving 4 for you on a platter, if you would like it.
See, I had this on my short list, but I was leaning towards 23. I would have taken 23, I think, over 11, but obviously they're both fantastic. Is Dick's Picks 11, is that where the Dark Star goes into Me and My Uncle?
I believe it goes into Cumberland Blues, right?
Cumberland Blues, right. Okay. Which is like an insane segue. It doesn't seem like that would work at all. And it's actually, it's awesome. It's such a surprising, because you kind of expect it to go into like a Morning Dew, or, you know, or maybe like a Not Fade Away, or, you know, a more traditional second half coming out of Dark Star type thing. And then they go into Cumberland Blues, this upbeat, more of like a first set song, and it just shreds.
I love it. There's a great bird song in that show. There's another awesome China Rider.
It's a good one.
It's got great balance of songs and jams. It's a special time.
So I've got three albums left here on my short list, and I got one spot. I got Dick's Picks 4, I got Dick's Picks 19, mm-hmm. and I've got Dick's Picks 22. And I'm going to DQ Dick's Picks 19, which hurts my heart because I love that one. That's from 73, Oklahoma right. City. I would actually, I think you took Dick's Picks 14. Mm-hmm. I would take 19 over 14. I love 19. There's actually the Dark Star on that record is among my favorite. You know, I love Dark Stars from 73, the jazzy, more mellow, exploratory, you know, as opposed to like maybe like a late 60s, more hard charging, you know, like Live Dead style Dark Star. Yes. We're gonna be talking about that in our season premiere episode when we get to Dick's Picks 28. So I've always loved 19. It hurts my heart not to do it, but I already have a 73 show, so I'm going to DQ that one. So we get down to Dick's Picks 4 and Dick's Picks 22. For those who don't remember, Dick's Picks 22, this is 1968. They're in it's in Florida. It's at, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's at Kings Beach, like, California.
Yeah.
Kings Beach, California. And That was the second Dick's Picks I ever owned, actually. So that also has a lot of sentimental value for me. But then you have Dick's Picks 4. Of course, you've got the mind-blowing Dark Star. You have the amazing other one, both of which are a half hour long. I mean, you have just an hour of amazing Grateful Dead music on top of so many other amazing songs on there. But I'm going to take Dick's Picks 22.
All right.
Just because I like the idea of having a 60 show on here, and this is like primal Dead. This is like just shredding the entire time, very you know, hard charging. I mean, the opposite of 73,
right?
You know, they still have a bit of that garage rock thing going on, but they're also, you know, playing things like Viola Lee Blues, which is like the first song on the record, just starting out like this 20 minute song that's like pedal to the metal the entire time. Just like a fuzzy, dirty guitar tone. Like Jerry is just playing his ass off, you know, no restraint. He's a young man. He's on fire. The rhythm section on this record is unbelievable. They sound incredible. Just smoking hot. The 11, you know, which appears on both discs of this record. It's just, I don't know if they were just like mainlining trucker speed while they were playing these shows. I mean, they're just so like on it and hot, and you know, it's not as nuanced as later Dead. You know, again, they're young. It's pedal to the metal, but I love the brutality of this record.
Right.
I love the primalness of this record. So, and it's so different from the other Dick's Picks I picked. So like when I'm on my island listening to the Dead, and if I've been drinking whiskey for a few hours and I want to kick ass, I'm going to need some kick ass music. So
right. That's
why I'm taking Dick's Picks 22.
Yeah, as my last great pick. I had that on my short list, and I think you did a better job of sort of spreading out. Even though you picked two 73, 74 shows, you got the stylistic spread with the early and the late on top of that. A couple that I was very close to picking, Dick's Picks 18. That early 78 show. Another one that is a little bit sleazy, a little bit like, you know, a little bit powdery, let's say, but has a great Scarlet Fire. It has a really awesome Samson and Delilah where Bob's mic doesn't work, so they just like rage for 5 minutes. So that one came close. Dick's Picks 2. I love Dick's Picks 2. I love a single disc Dick's Picks. Just gets it nice and tight. Little Reader's Digest version of Dick's Picks. And then that November 69 show in San Francisco, which is sort of like an alternate Live Dead. I had to consider that one as well. So it's tough, man. I wanted to do, so the fans know, I wanted to do draft all 27 or 26 of the 27, then leave one kid on the playground that wasn't picked. But Steve rightly put his foot down and said, we're not going to do 3 hours of Grateful Dead drafting here on the first night of rehearsals. So
these are bite-sized episodes. We don't need to throw ourselves or our listeners into the deep end. And, you know, we're going to be back tomorrow with another episode. So I think we did good. I think this was a good first rehearsal.
It's good. I'm feeling warm. I'm feeling limber.
Do we need to do another shout out to Skull and Roses, our sponsor?
let's give them another one since they are paying the bills for us to be here. So Skull and Roses, April 7th to 10th.
Yes, Phil Lesh, O'Teal. See if they maybe have like a Beat It style fight on stage.
Right, knife fight.
Battle of the Grateful Dead bass players. That could be amazing. You got Dark Star Orchestra. Who else you have there? I can't remember. There's so much good music there. If you're into the Grateful Dead, you're going to
Dark Star Orchestra
out.
Is going to be there, but also some of the Dark Star Orchestra people are playing in a band called Reckoning. Interesting group of people. Ooh. You got Rob Eaton. You got John Kalatzik, the original Dark Star Orchestra guitarist who sort of graduated. I don't know how you want to, was promoted up to the big leagues into the further days. Rob Baracco is playing with them. So, I mean, it's a long lineup. You got to go on the skullandroses.com and check it out. There's this, have you heard of this Steely Dead band that does Steely Dan and Grateful Dead covers?
Yes.
They're on this bill. I've always been fascinated to hear that because it sounds like oil and water to me, but they must make it work somehow. So.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. I think, especially if you're leaning on like 80s Dead, I can see 80s Dead and Steely Dan. And, you know, look, the Dead have a jazz rock side to them.
That's true.
And I know Donald Fagen has talked about liking the Grateful Dead. So, yeah, I definitely feel like now the circles of people who like Steely Dan and the people who like the Dead, there's more interaction now, I feel like, than there would have been maybe 30 or 40 years ago.
Well, this sounds like a topic we could spend another 38 minutes on.
I know I love both.
We'll put a pin in it. Yeah, yeah.
So, well, anyway, thank you all for listening. And we will be back tomorrow again at 9 Eastern, which we don't care about Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
That's right.
The real American time zone.
The true time zone.
And so come back tomorrow. We'll hang out some more. And thanks for listening to us rehearse. We promise we'll get it just exactly perfect tomorrow.
That's right. Just exactly perfect, brothers. See you tomorrow.
Dylan, Marley, you've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.